Well, good morning, Fairbarians. Is that how you say it? All right, okay. Is it early still? You guys aren't used to laughing or something? I don't know. Anyway, I'm just one of those, I just believe you should have fun when it comes to serving Jesus, right? I don't think there's anything worse than meeting a stoic Christian. I mean, somebody just doesn't have any, they just have a sourpuss, you know what I mean? I love Jesus. Yeah. No, I mean, we should enjoy ourselves. We should set the standard for fun, right? Amen. All right, so two of you agree with me. Anyway, all right, well, let's pray. Maybe that'll help. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for your grace and your mercy. We thank you, Lord, for your love, and we thank you most importantly for your presence with us. We're awake, we're alive this morning because of you. Because your grace was applied to us last night. Your mercy was applied to us this morning. And we greeted your mercy. And we just thank you so much for who you are. Lord, we surrender to you. We want to live a life of yield and submission to you, Holy Spirit. We're asking you that you would awaken our spirit that's within us. Waken the deep things of God that has been rooted deep within us. And use this time, Heavenly Father, Lord, to speak to your people. Do what only you're capable of doing, Holy Spirit. That's to take the words that are being projected out and reach into the hearts of your people and translating and transforming those words so that every single individual will be met right where they're at. We love you, Jesus, and we thank you so much for your grace, your kindness, and for your endless love. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to take a quick liberty this morning, if you guys don't mind. Is that okay? I've been practicing listening to God. Anybody else do that? Okay, one person. That's great. We're at church, guys. All right. It's okay to practice listening to Jesus. All right. So I've been just asking God just to speak to me on a very intimate and personal level. And it's awesome when he does that, right? Yeah, you ever have that happen where you just know that it's God speaking to you? And we have a choice in that moment whether or not we're going to respond to what he's telling us. So last Sunday, I was in Colorado Springs. I was preaching at a church in Colorado Springs, and we're doing praise and worship. And as we're doing praise and worship, I'm asking the Lord, is there anybody in this room that you want to speak to specifically through me? And some names started, I started hearing some names, you know, and one of the names I heard was Curie. And I said, that's not a name, God. I'm making that up. You ever have that happen where you're just like, you want to argue with God? It doesn't really work, just so you know. And so I'm like, there's nobody here named Curie. That's a made-up name, whatever. So I stand up, and I give the message, and it was a cool time of ministry. It was an awesome time of ministry. There were people in the room looking bored, just like this young lady. And and so we get done, and this family comes up to me, and I met the mom about 6 years ago, and she said, Kevin, do you remember me? I said, of course I do. She said, well, I want to introduce you to my youngest son, because the last time we met when we came to Lincoln, you didn't get to meet him because he was too young to come on the trip. So she introduces me to her son, and I said, oh, man, it's nice to meet you. He said, nice to meet you. He gives me a hug, whatever. And I noticed that there's a young lady standing next to him, and the mom didn't introduce me to her. And so I asked her, I said, well, who's this young lady? She said, oh, that's my son's girlfriend. Like, no big deal. That's not going to last kind of thing. And so I looked at the young lady. I said, so tell me, what's your name? And she said, my name's Curie. Yeah. You see, that's what I did. This brother went, I did the same thing. I went, oh, you're kidding me. And she said, no, my name's Curie. I said, oh, you have to be kidding. She said, why? I said, first of all, you're not going to believe this. And I said, and she said, what? I said, the Lord gave me your name right before service started. And she said, really? I said, yeah. I said, and I thought he was lying to me. Because I thought that was a made-up name. I've never heard that name before. And the Lord has a word for you. So I gave her the word that God had, and she starts crying. It was just awesome. So that was just a setup, because I was praying for you guys last night, praying for you guys this morning, and we're just going to try this out real quick. Is that okay? Oh, thank you. Thanks. See, I'm glad there's one or two people in here that agree with whatever I'm doing. So I don't know if this is right or not, but like I said, I'm practicing, so just bear with me. Maybe the name's not right, but I believe the word will apply to somebody. Is there anybody here named Lucille or like Lois? That's kind of Lois. All right. Okay. Isn't that crazy? Would you stand up for a second? I don't know if this makes sense. All I heard was, your time of waiting is over. Does that mean anything to you? Wow. Okay. Favor and peace are upon you. Everything is forgiven, and the Father holds nothing against you. Does that mean anything to you at all? That's all right. All right. So we're practicing. Does it mean anything? Does any of those words mean anything to anybody? Okay. Well, all right. So like I said, I don't always get it right. Anyhow, is there a Zeke? You can go ahead and sit down. Is there a Zeke here? Anybody named Zeke? Anybody know a Zeke? All right. Well, maybe that's for later. So this is what happened a few weeks ago. I got a word. I was at a camp, and I was speaking, and I did the same thing, and God gave me the name Rachel. So I'm in this room, and I said, is anybody here named Rachel? And one person stands up, and I give the word, and she's like, man, I know. That don't mean anything. And so I'm like, oh, okay, whatever. So a day later, I show up at a coffee shop, and it's a coffee shop in Lincoln I always go to every Friday morning. I'm there, and there's this young lady named Taylor that always waits on me, but Taylor was busy that morning. So another person steps up to say, hey, sir, can I take your order? And I step up, and she has his name tag. It says Rachel. I'm like, oh, my goodness. And so I said, Rachel, I said, this is crazy. And I started asking her questions. She said, why are you asking me these questions? I said, this is going to sound weird, but God gave me your name a couple days ago. She said, are you serious? She starts crying. I said, yes, that's it. I said, here's what the Lord said. God said he sees your tears. And she just starts crying even more. And he said, he's going to turn your pain into laughter and in your sorrow into joy. And she comes around the counter. She throws her arms around me. She said, Kevin, thank you so much. It was pretty sweet and cool. So anyway, I'm just pray with me. I think later on today I'm probably going to meet somebody named Zeke, or maybe tomorrow, whatever. Anyway, Here's what we have this morning. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to 2 Samuel chapter 5. 2 Samuel chapter 5. I'm going to start this out with a question. Does anybody here need a breakthrough? Anybody need a breakthrough? I mean, you're just waiting on God to do or say something in your life. I know I asked this last time, but is there anybody here? I mean, maybe you're all good. Is that... is this thing on? Anyway, does anybody here need a breakthrough? Are you okay? Amen. All right. Anybody else? Amen. Right. So you've been praying about, maybe you've been praying about something and praying and praying and praying, and you're just waiting on God to move on that. Anybody like that? Yeah. All right. Are you guys twins? Okay. Does people ask you that all the time? Are you related? Okay. That's good. All right. What's your name, by the way? Kiana. That's a beautiful name. All right. Did you give her that? No. All right. All right. Kiana. Wow. A redhead white girl named Kiana. That's a. Anyway. Kiana, how old are you? How old are you? 19. So you've been praying for God to do something. That's awesome. Okay. Anybody else? So I got three or four people. I just want you to understand something. Your time of breakthrough is coming. Your season of breakthrough is upon you. In 2 Samuel chapter 5, we embark upon and we stumble on a man named David. Here's the story. And verse 17 is where we're going to begin. When the Philistines, or Philistines, however you want to say it, depending on what part of Nebraska you're from, when the Philistines heard that David had been anointed king over Israel, they went up in full force to search for him. But David heard about it and went down to the stronghold. Now the Philistines had come and spread out in the valley of Rephaim. So David inquired of the Lord, "Shall I go and attack the Philistines? Will you deliver them into my hands?" The Lord answered him, "Go, for I will surely deliver the Philistines into your hands." So David went to Baal-perazim, and there he defeated them. He said, "As waters break out, the Lord has broken out against my enemies before me." So that place was called Baal-perazim. The Philistines abandoned their idols there, and David and his men carried them off. Once more, the Philistines came up and spread out in the valley of Rephaim. And so David inquired of the Lord, and he answered, "Do not go straight up, but circle around behind them and attack them in front of the poplar trees. As soon as you hear the sound of marching in the tops of the poplar trees, move quickly, because that means the Lord has gone out in front of you to strike the Philistine army." So David did as the Lord commanded him, and he struck down the Philistines all the way from Gibeon to Gezer. I love that name. Powerful story. I just got news for you this morning. I've just been praying about this over the last few weeks. And here's what I believe that the Lord is saying to us as the people of God. I believe the Lord is telling us as the people of God that there's going to be a season of favor over God's people, over God's kingdom, of those who love Jesus, who are part of the body of Christ. There's a season of favor that's coming. And here's the reason why. If you have to almost turn over to Proverbs 11 to get this. In Proverbs chapter 11, it says this: "When the righteous prosper, the city rejoices." See, we are living in a time where there's people, and my mom and I, this is my mom right there, by the way. We were discussing some of the ills of our society. If you don't have to look too far to realize that our culture and our country, there's trouble there, there's turmoil. And I just really believe that we're at the brink. And what I mean by that, I don't mean that we're at the brink of disaster. I believe it depends on whether or not we as the people of God, if we respond obediently and appropriately, it will be disastrous. But I believe there's hope because we know Jesus. You know, God never panics. You realize that? God is never like, "Oh my goodness, what are we going to do? These people aren't listening." He doesn't panic, and he doesn't try to look through drawers or shuffle through piles of paper to say, "Okay, I got to do something for these humans." God already has a plan. How many of you know that? Amen. When Adam and Eve decided that they were going to disobey God, and they said, "You know what? I think God's holding out on us, so we're going to eat from this tree of the knowledge of good and evil." God did not panic. You know what he did? He put in action the plan he already had. It wasn't plan B, because in God's economy, God's thinking, there is no plan B. There's only a plan A. And he says he has it all figured out. See, here's what the enemy was hoping. The enemy was hoping because he knew what happened to him. He was hoping when he got the humans to be disobedient that God would kill them right away. Because he knew the word of God, because God told them, he said, "If you eat from this tree, you will surely die." And when the serpent comes and he tempts Eve, Eve says this: we're not to eat from this tree. We're not even to touch it, because if we do, in the day that we do, we will surely die." And the enemy says this. He lies to you. He plays on God's word. He says, "You won't surely die. God knows that when you eat of it, you'll become like him." Well, how many even know that's very enticing? It's very exciting to hear, to say, you know, "Oh man, become like God. That's pretty sweet. Most people I know who love Jesus want to be like Jesus." But that wasn't what they were after. They weren't wanting to be like God. They were actually wanting to be God. You see what I'm saying? Because when they were created in his image. So they're already like him. What more could they ask for? Well, they were lied to. They were sucked in trapped. A trap was set for them. They ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And guess what happens? They immediately die, right? Somebody said, yeah. Read your Bible, bro. No. They did not physically die, did they? No. They didn't even emotionally die. They died a spiritual death. You know, that gets kind of cliche after a while. But the truth of the matter is, that is the most severe death any of us could die. Imagine walking through life, and there's people you know, there's people that we come across every single day that walk through life without any recognition or acknowledgement of God. And they're spiritually dead. And they've justified everything that they do, everything that they say, and the way that they walk through life. And then they try to tell you you're wrong for what you believe. Well, that's what happened with Adam and Eve. They spiritually died. I don't believe that the enemy was counting on that. I think he wanted it done. Because the Bible tells us in John 10, verse 10, it says that the thief comes to steal, he comes to kill, and he comes to destroy. He wanted them wiped out, obliterated from the earth. But something got activated as soon as they ate. And I'm not saying that God was hoping this would happen. I believe that God wants us to be obedient to him. But here's what I believe would happen. God said, now that you've eaten, now that you've sinned, now that you made your choice, now I can activate my plan. See, what the enemy intended for evil, God always intends for good. How many of you know we have a good, good Father? He's so good. He is so good. And it's taken me 29 years to figure this out. And all my life, I was sharing this with a group of people a few weeks ago. My entire ministry, I've been in ministry for 25 years. Yeah, I started when I was four. I've been in ministry for 25 years. And my whole ministry life, I was performing for God, trying to get him to love me, trying to get him to win his approval, not understanding that he already approves of me, that he already approves of you. That was a word for somebody, by the way. God, you need to understand that God, he celebrates who you are. He approves of you. You don't have to do anything to impress him because you can't anyway. Here's a God who's omnipotent, who is ever-present, who's all-powerful, who's all-knowing, who's eternal. Well, how are you going to impress him? He made us. What he delights in, however, is when we obey him. He takes so much great delight when we do that. But even when we don't, he still approves of us. Isn't that good news? There's nothing we can do to win his approval, and there's nothing we can do to disappoint him. Yeah, that's going to mess with somebody today. And so, my whole life, like my whole ministry life, I've been trying to perform for God, trying to win his approval, and God has been telling me, Kevin, my grace is sufficient. See, what happened in the garden that day was that grace got activated. Grace hadn't been introduced yet. Grace got introduced when sin came into play. How many of you know that? How many of you know when you sin, grace gets activated, and that's what we need because it's through grace that we're saved? That's good news. Thanks for the amen, Mom. So to backtrack a little bit, here is what's happening in our time. As I said before, I just truly believe that we are about to experience, the body of Christ is about to experience a season of favor. Here's why I believe that. Because the lost world needs to understand how awesome God is. Like I said, I believe that we're at the brink. And we are being invited into something extraordinary. Something incredible. Think about this for a second. There are almost 8 billion people on this planet. Do you realize that? There's never been this amount of people on this planet at one time. Matter of fact, people a lot smarter than me have figured this one out. the amount of people that are on the planet right now are more than the amount of people that have ever existed at one time or any time prior to that. Do you know what I'm saying? So since the beginning of time till now, there's never been 8 billion people. There's more people on the planet right now than there's ever been of people who have existed. Isn't that crazy? So what does that mean? So if you listen to secular talk, it's, oh man, we're overpopulated. I just drove about an hour or so from Lincoln to Fairbury. There's a lot of farmland. I don't think we're overpopulated. There's a lot of space for people. That's all I'm saying. Anyway, so as I'm looking at it, I'm like, wow, it's crazy. You think God is like, oh my goodness, what are we going to do with all these people? Jesus, you might have to go back. No, he's not worried about that at all. God is saying it's working all together for my good because there's about to be a revival of revivals. And we get to be a part of it. We could have been born at any time in human history, but God set us up for this time right now. Isn't that cool? Because he wants to do something in and through us so that it ushers in this tremendous revival, because I do believe that we are approaching the last days. And we get to be a part of something so extraordinary. And there's people that have gone before us that have been praying for this moment. And we get to be a part of it. I also found this out. Over half the earth's population is under the age of 16. Isn't that crazy? Yeah. It's crazy to know that I'm older than most everybody on the planet. It's depressing, actually. Again, I believe this is strategic and there's a setup that's happening. I personally believe, and this no offense to anybody here, I personally believe that being called to youth is the highest call. Think about this for a second. You as parents, as grandparents, whoever, you will chase your young people all over the country to support them, won't you? I remember when my kids were younger and they would be involved with club track, club basketball, and all this other stuff. I drove them through several different states just to sit at a boring track meet all day long. You know, their race would last 15 seconds and I'd have to be there for 8 hours. It's just terrible. Yeah. And then they would want to watch their friends. I'm like, I don't know them. And they're not coming home with me. And I'm certainly not feeding them. But anyway, so we would do that because we love our kids. Now think about what happens when our kids get excited for Christ. When they get set on fire for the works of Jesus Christ. Will you follow them then? Absolutely. Absolutely. It doesn't work the other way around. When you're fired up about Jesus, your kids think you're weird. Right? Yes. And you're like, oh, yeah. Oh, my mom's a Bible thumper. It's so funny because my kids are hilarious, because whenever we're out in public and I want to pray for somebody, I'll watch them like disperse. They're like, oh, there's dad again. It doesn't matter. Like, if we're in Walmart, it doesn't matter. If we're at McDonald's, I'm praying for the person that I'm meeting, because I just know that God has assigned me there. And my kids are like, oh, get me a Big Mac. And they're just walking away. It's so hilarious. But I'm telling you, if my kids were in line and they said, can I pray for you? I'm standing there and I'm cheering them on. Aren't you? Isn't that exciting? Breakthrough's coming. Favor's coming to the body of Christ. So gear up for it. This is exciting news, and we are living in an exciting time. Just be prepared. What you've been praying for, what you've been hoping for, is right at the threshold. Sometimes you just have to go and get it. See, sometimes we have to, and I'm preaching to myself now. We sit there while I'm waiting on the Lord. I'm waiting on the Lord, which we need to wait on God, because God has been telling me these three things over the past several months. He's been saying, Kevin, I want you to wait on me. I want you to rest in me, and I want you to trust in me. He keeps repeating it over almost every single time I pray. He tells me those three things. And I'm saying, God, I must not be getting it, because you keep telling me the same thing. Wait on the Lord. Do you know what waiting on the Lord really means? In Scripture, it says that they who wait on the Lord shall mount up on wings like eagles. And we think wait and just mean, wait really in the Hebrew, wait means this. To be bound and tied together. Like if you look at a rope, and a thick rope, there's all these twines that are connected to one another. And if you start tearing apart, that rope becomes weaker. But when you bind them together, that rope is almost indestructible. When they were saying, wait on the Lord, when he was speaking, waiting on the Lord, that's the image that he was using. Us being tied and bound together with God, that you cannot determine the difference between God and you. How awesome is that? You see, this is what the world needs that we live in. They need us to live in such a way so that when they're looking in, they can't tell the difference between us and God, that it's one and the same. And here's what's going to happen. God is going to start to pour out his blessing upon his people. And those who don't believe are going to look at you and say, how are you doing that? How's that happening to you? Hey, weren't you walking around with a limp? Yeah, but Jesus healed me. Just understand that. God doesn't want us walking around with all these different ailments and making excuses for them. Sometimes, and it was so cool, last Sunday, there was two different services I spoke at, and it was a morning, there was a 9 o'clock service, and then there was a 10:30 service. And I said, you know what, I just have to be honest with you. I just can't preach the same thing two times in a row. I just can't. I don't even believe it after that. No, I'm just kidding. just hit record. You don't have to do that. So I'm just telling you, and the second service was totally different than the first one. And I used the same scripture because I thought that was necessary. But we did a time of ministry. And I just said, is there anybody in this room that's having chronic back pain? Three people stood up. This one girl had had back pain for almost 2 decades. Chronic back. Anybody here like that? I just feel I need to pray for you. All right, we're going to get you in a second. So here's what happened. I there was somebody standing. Her mom was standing next to her. Her mom lays a hand on her, and we pray for her. She says, my body's tingling. She said, all over my body. She said, I've never felt this before. I've never felt this great before. She comes up to me after service. She's crying. She says, Kevin, thank you so much. You have no idea. I said, I can move without pain. It was so awesome. And I said to her, I said, your affliction has been your identity, hasn't it? She starts crying. She says, yeah, absolutely. See, Christ wants to give you a new identity. See, sometimes we bear our burdens as a reason and excuse for God. And your identity isn't in your pain. Your identity is in Christ, in him alone. Does that make sense? Will you stand up for a second? We're going to close out this way. All right. Is it hard for you to stand up? All right. Brother, would you go stand next to her. Where's your back hurt, by the way?
Lower back.
Lower back. Okay. That's what I figured. How long have you had the pain? Long time. Okay. On a scale 1 to 10, how your son's saying 10. All right. Okay. This is going to be awesome. All right. What'd you do to your back? Do you know? Really? Oh, wow. All right. Brother, what's your name? I'm sorry.
Al.
Okay. Really? Awesome. Maybe you're going to be, all right. Wow. All right. We're just going to, thank you, Jesus. Do you understand that you are loved so much? God loves you so much. And he's going to demonstrate his love for you right now by removing your pain. I just believe that. So Al, would you just pray this over, I'm sorry, what's your name? Joanne. Would you just pray this over Joanne? in the name of Jesus. Just say that out loud. In the name of Jesus, I command back pain to go. And all muscles, all tissue be reformatted to its original design. In Jesus' name. Amen. Check yourself out. See if you feel any better. No, it wasn't 8 or 9. What's it at now? Is that awesome or what? See, look at you guys. Whatever. Not impressed, Kevin. You said a 5? That's awesome. I'm sorry, you guys. I'm taking a liberty. That's all right. You can tell Michael me if you want to. Anyway, I don't care. Can you sit down in that chair for a second? Yeah. Not you, Mike. I'm going to have you, or Al, I'm going to have you do something. All right. Okay. I want to check something out real quick. Go ahead and sit down. You mind grabbing her ankles and just lift them up a little bit? And put her heels together. Are her legs the, if you look at her heels, are her legs the same length? Okay. All right. Okay. All right. Is this your dad? Yeah. Okay. You want to just check it out, see if he's lying. Is one leg longer than the other? Okay. All right. So, Al, just say this. Keep standing up. So, Al, say this. In the name of Jesus, I command leg to grow. All right. You notice any difference? Check it out. Did it grow? Did it grow? Come on. Come on. Stand up. Stand up for a second. How awesome is that? You're not impressed at all. You're like, whatever, Dad. How's your back feel? Now what's it at? It was at a 5. It went from an 8 to 9 to a 5. What is it at now? Come on. Come on. Yes. Praise God. Yes. Yeah. Amen. Praise God. I just want to give you, I'm just going to give you something more, just a little bit more. I'm going to have your son and Al just touch you real quick, and your daughter. Just touch her, just anywhere. Just touch her. All right. Lord, you began a work, and we trust you to finish it. In the name of Jesus, complete your healing over your daughter now in the name of Jesus. Take it from a 3 to a 0 in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, while you're listening, I want you to understand this is not your identity. You've been burdened with ailment for most of your life, and you've adopted this as an identity. It's not. You are loved by Jesus. You're getting hot, aren't you? Yeah. You are so loved by God. He marvels at you. He delights in you. You understand that? Your identity is in him, not in your pain. You are free. So when the pain, if the pain ever tries to come, it's a lie. And you need to treat it as such and rebuke it. Amen? Amen. God bless you, sister. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. Oh, man. Wow. So, honestly, breakthrough. You guys saying, Mike, don't bring Kevin back. I'm just telling you right now, I would rather see that happen than preach any word to you. Because I believe that's what I'm here for. It was funny. We did a ministry time. We're driving back from Colorado last Sunday. And I told my wife, man, the second service was totally different than the first one. And she said, really? She said, what'd you do the first one? I said, well, I just preached. She said, oh. I'm like, thanks, honey. And she said this in the most loving way. She said, you know what? I think it's a letdown when you preach and you don't do ministry for people. I'm like, thank you. All right. But I'm just here to say, I just love it when God, his presence shows up this way. Look at, she's messed up. That's so awesome. Yeah, praise God. And so I just want to thank you so much just for allowing me the opportunity and liberty just to be able to share God's love with you and just his promise to us. For those of you who've been praying, maybe you'll be an inspiration for others to start praying for breakthrough, because it is coming. The favor of God is resting on his people. I love you. God bless you. Thank you.